reading is taken from 1 Samuel 3. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there calling as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears of it tingle. At that time I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family from beginning to end, for I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons made themselves contemptible, and he failed to restrain them. Therefore I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering." Samuel lay down until morning and then opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision. But Eli called him and said, "Samuel, my son." Samuel answered, "Here I am." "What was it he said to you?" Eli asked. "Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide from me anything he told you." So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. Then Eli said, "He is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes." The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh. There he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. And Samuel's word came to all Israel.
At this year's Oscars, Robert Downey Jr. won an award for playing Louis Strauss in Oppenheimer, and Divine Joy Randolph won an award for playing Mary Lamb in The Holdovers. Neither of their wins, though, was for Best Actor or Best Actress, but for Best Supporting Actor and Best Supporting Actress. Those roles that maybe don't get put up in lights quite so highly. If there is an award for Best Supporting Role in the biblical story, at least in the Old Testament, I think Samuel might be within a shout of getting it. He's not as well known as Abraham, Moses or David. He's not as flawed as Adam, Saul or Solomon. He's possibly pushed for Best Supporting Role by Ruth, Esther or Deborah, all who would be good candidates for Best Supporting Actress. But I'd be quite happy for Samuel to get the statuette, and for us to hear his speech thanking his mother, Hannah, his father, Elkanah, and his mentor, Eli. Samuel is a transitional figure in the life of Israel. He leads God's people from the age of being a group of tribes into the age of them becoming a nation with a king. But his story, as with anyone's, starts somewhere. And that's what we've heard about in our reading this morning. The reading begins by saying the word of the Lord was rare in those days. That was the reality for the people of Israel at that time. God's guidance to his people that had been so evident in the time of Moses and Joshua had all but disappeared in the subsequent period of the Judges, where the constant refrain is heard in that most depressing book of the Bible that all the people did what was right in their own eyes. And in this era of not walking in the ways of God, this had continued under the leadership of the priest Eli and the corrupting influence of his sons Hophni and Phinehas, as Eli had become more infirm. Eli, though, had witnessed Hannah's earnest prayer for God to relieve her of her barrenness. And then, after Samuel had been weaned, possibly around the age of 5, he'd taken Samuel into his service in the tabernacle at Shiloh. And this sets the scene for our reading, where the boy or youth Samuel is Eli's assistant or carer, tending to him in his old age and near blindness. So calling out for Samuel in the night to aid him, if needed, would not be unusual. And this meant that Samuel needed to sleep nearby to Eli and the other priests, close to the Ark of the Covenant. So Samuel hearing someone call out in the night meant that his natural assumption would be that it was Eli needing some help. So he rushed to his master to see what he wanted. Eli, though, wasn't needing any kind of assistance, despite possibly being roused from his sleep. He kindly says to Samuel, "My son, I did not need you. Go back and lie down." The same thing happens again, with Samuel thinking he's been called by Eli, rushing off to tend him, and Eli kindly saying he said nothing. And we learn at this point in our reading that despite serving in the tabernacle and ministering before the Lord, at this stage Samuel didn't know the Lord. He didn't have a personal knowledge of him. And this meant that he wasn't able to recognise his voice. A third time Samuel hears a call, rushes to Eli and says once again, "Here I am, you called me." By the third time of this interruption to his night's sleep, Eli begins to sense that something different is going on. Despite personally not hearing from God, Eli suggests to Samuel that the next time he hears someone calling, he responds with, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." And with this, Samuel seemingly went back to sleep. He was, though, awoken again with God calling to him. But this time, it wasn't just the word of God, but a vision of the Lord. And Samuel manages to say most of what Eli suggested, except in the tentativeness of his faith, he omits the word Lord. But there is still a willingness in Samuel's reply. Just as there had been in his abortive attempts to help Eli in the night, he wants to serve. The portrait painted of Samuel up until this point has been of a child. But as God reveals himself in this nighttime encounter, the boy needs to become a man in a hurry. Because the message he's to share is a hard word of prophecy that he has to give to a man who has seemingly shown him nothing but kindness. The word that Samuel is given fulfills the word spoken earlier in 1 Samuel, by an anonymous prophet. "Therefore the Lord, the God of Israel, declares, I promised that members of your family would minister. minister before me forever. But now the Lord declares, far be it from me. Those who honour me I will honour, but those who despise me will be disdained. The time is coming when I will cut short your strength and the strength of your priestly house, so that no one in it will reach old age, and you will see distress in my dwelling. Although good will be done to Israel, no one in your family line will ever reach old age. Every one of you that I do not cut off from serving at my altar, I will spare, only to destroy your sight and strength, sap your strength, and all your descendants will die in the prime of life. And these words are fulfilled in the vision, the words that God gives Samuel to share with Eli, which we heard in our reading. And this wasn't going to be an easy message for Samuel to share. Therefore, he does what any of us would do when we've got something unpleasant to do. He puts it off as long as possible. Samuel busies himself with jobs and tries to avoid Eli. However, you can only do this for so long, and Eli catches up with him and asks him what the Lord said, whatever it is, possibly knowing it's not going to be good news for him. Samuel tells him, and Eli accepts God's word to him with grace. And in this moment, the role of Samuel changes. By delivering God's word to Eli, even though it was hard, Samuel becomes God's prophet. And in the next verses, we see how Samuel grows into Israel's priest, prophet, and judge. And he's recognized by the whole of Israel in this role. And where God's word had once been rare, it now became freely available to the people of God through Samuel. On one level, this is a story about how God called Samuel. But on a more significant level, this is a story about how God once again began to speak into the lives of the people of Israel after a period of silence. For the chosen people of God who were in a covenant relationship with him, to be in a period where, as our reading said, in those days the word of God was rare and there were not many visions, is telling. The relationship between the people of God and God had sunk to a depth that was previously unknown. Yet into the middle of this spiritual malaise, God chooses to speak once again. In his grace, he continues to reach out to his chosen people. Despite the horrors of the period of the judges, he chooses to reveal himself. Yet his revelation is not to the mighty and the exalted, as is his way. He reveals himself to the unlikely and unnoticed. Like Abram in a far-off Haran, like stuttering Moses. Here he reveals himself to a failing old man with two ne'er-do-well sons and a young boy. And even more, Samuel's story begins with the prayerful cries of a barren woman. One who would have been ostracized in that world. God's new direction comes to the strangest people, it seems. Eli was supposed to have been an important figure. He was the judge of Israel at that time, yet his influence had diminished as his health had faltered and the destructive behaviour of his sons had tarnished his reputation. But he still manages to maintain enough godly insight to discern that it is God trying to speak to Samuel. And when Samuel hears from God, he's humble enough to accept God's correcting word, and even more humble in being willing to step aside to let Samuel take on the role of prophet. Samuel, though, is one that our reading says doesn't even really know God when God comes to speak to him. And that can be a bit shocking to our ears, because we assume that when God is going to reveal his purposes, he's going to do it to someone who's a fully signed up, paid up, member of the club. Yet Samuel was hesitant enough in his faith to not even address the vision of the Lord as Lord. Yet his lack of faith beforehand was no reason for God not to speak to him. Samuel had a servant-hearted nature, and God knew he had a heart that was ready to say yes to him, even though the calling was hard. And he didn't let God down. Even though his first task was to share hard words with his master, he did it. And in sharing the words of God, he proved his faith and set himself up to become a faithful prophet of God into the future. For the people of Israel to go forward, for the people of God once again to walk in God's ways, they needed to have the word of God spoken into their lives, and Samuel was the one chosen by God to do that. Whereas then, the word of God only came to certain people at certain times in certain situations. Now, post-Jesus, post-Pentecost, through the gift of the Spirit, we believe that the word of God is available to all believers all the time through the Holy Spirit. So it isn't just down to certain people to be oracles of God's wisdom. God can choose to reveal himself through anyone, be it an old man or a young girl. Be it a first-time church attender or a child who has grown up in church. If God's Spirit is present, God can speak to us. Are we prepared for that to happen? Are we listening? Do we still expect only to hear from God via certain people at certain times in certain situations? It's not just the minister who can share God's word between 10:30 and 11:30 a.m. on a Sunday morning, stood behind a lectern at the front of a church sanctuary. God's word has been set free by the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, free to be spoken through those whom God chooses to share them. Young, old, rich, poor, every tribe, nation, and creed. But are we prepared for that to happen? Are we listening? How, though, does God speak to us today? Well, first, for God to speak to us, we need to be listening. And so we need to make sure we have space to hear him. And we can live in a world where so many things easily drown out the voice of God. There is so much media, so many words spoken by people who say they're sharing the word of God. So in order to hear from God, we need to be intentional. We can by chance overhear God. But if we want to really make sure we can hear from God, we need to be purposeful. We need to find spaces where we can come. We come to gathered worship with an openness to hearing from God. We take moments of silence each day, longer periods of solitude each week. And once we've intentionally taken these simple steps, in what ways can God speak to us? Well, the ways I'm going to mention are a very brief summary of a great book by Pete Gregg, helpfully entitled, How to Hear God. Please read the book if you want to find out some more. So the first way is we can hear God's word in Jesus. Jesus is what God sounds like. He is the living word of God. All other ways Christians hear the voice of God are ways we hear Jesus' voice. He's the ultimate and primary revelation of God to us. Jesus is God's best word to us. We hear God's word in the Bible. We call the Bible the word of God, and we believe God reveals his heart to us in a special way through it. He's inspired people to record the story of his relationship with humanity through history in the pages of our Bibles. And through God's Spirit, the words of the Bible can still speak into our lives today, through sermons, Bible studies, or by simply reading scripture. Through the Bible, God says, "Hi, I'm here." We hear God's word in prayer. As we come to God in prayer, God can reveal himself to us in our minds, hearts, and souls. igniting our emotions and our imaginations, to leave our hearts burning within us and revealing his will to us, as his word finds fertile soil within us. We can hear God's word in prophecy. God can, through his Spirit, still speak through individuals to bring specific words for his church and individuals at specific times. These are God's words of prophecy. Paul, in his first letter to the church at Corinth, writes that the one who prophesies speaks to people for the strengthening and encouraging and comfort. It's a gift of grace from God that needs to be carefully discerned by those who hear it. It can be abused, but it can be a great blessing to God's church. We can hear God's word in a whisper. The presumption is that God's word to us will become loud and clear. However, God also speaks quietly, in whispers, as he did to Elijah on Mount Horeb. To hear God's whisper, we need to make sure we are listening. We need, like Jesus, to find places of silence and solitude to retreat to, so we don't miss what he might be saying to us. We can hear God's word to us in dreams and the unconscious. Throughout the Bible, the Old and New Testaments, we have God sharing his word with people when they're unconscious, usually in dreams. It's a mysterious and subjective way that God can share his word with us. What we feel he says in this way needs to be tested, but it can also be a powerful and special way that God can reveal himself to us. And we can hear God's word in creation, culture, and community. God can speak to us through the world he's created, the culture that exists within that creation, and the communities of people that live in the world that we exist in. The heavens declare the glory of God, and humanity is created in the image of God. And God has not left himself without a witness. God speaks. We need to listen. Within God's church, we can share we feel God is saying, weighing, testing, discerning together what is of God. Then most importantly, we get on with what God may be saying. God still speaks to his church. The question is whether our response is, "Here I am, Lord, your servant is listening," or whether it's, "We're too busy doing our own thing." Let's pray. Lord God, may we find space and silence to hear your voice and to respond to you in simple faith. Here we are, Lord. Your servants are listening. Amen.